Hurricane Mishne Gimel. Excellent. So if you recall, what we moved on to over here in Perek Chamishi is the question of the interrelationship of long-term kind of things that you're doing in Shemitah. And that is something where the implications of what grew before are still involved in what is happening now. So we talk about things, initially we talked about in the first Mishnah, that if you have fruit that takes a very long time, sometimes 2 years, and it only ripens in the third year. So what would be the din of the fruit that even though it appeared during Shemitah, and the halacha is that, of course, over there you go according to the Chanata, and it should have the din of Shemitah. What's the din if it's not going to ripen any time during Shemitah and any time during the year after Shemitah? What is the halacha then? That was the first Mishnah. Now we move on to another opposite issue, which is, what if something grew? And by the way, this is very nogeah halacha lamaisa, because even though vegetables go according to when they're picked, it isn't quite true that they go according to when they're picked always. Because if the vegetables have grown entirely during the previous year, then the only time that they go according to the Lakita is if some little bit of the growth took place during Shemitah. But if the entirety of the growth took place before Shemitah, and it's just that you didn't get around to picking them, and then you pick it during Shemitah, they do not have the din of Kedusha Shemitah. This is extremely nogea at the beginning of Shemitah for vegetables that actually are really fully grown by the time Shemitah began. And the truth is, during this period of the year, which is right after Rosh Hashanah, the fruit, the veggies that are being brought to market are often veggies that were not going according to the Lakita anyway. Even though they were picked this week, does not mean necessarily that they have the dinim of Kedusha Shvias, and therefore there's no Isser of Schora and so on and so forth. So for the first almost 2 months, you really don't have to worry about the issue because of today's Mishnah. Now, today's Mishnah, if it's correct, what did you say it was? It was the Mishnah 3 or Mishnah 2? Mishnah 3. Oh, sorry. Okay. So that the first Mishnah was the Perot that ripened much later. The second Mishnah, we started talking about Luf. And if you recall, Luf is something that grows a lot before. And the after you pick it, it's not really usable. What you do is you put it into the ground in order to allow it to stay there. And then the question was, in the previous Mishnah that we had, was, doesn't it look like you're planting the loof if you do that? So we had a machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, how much loof do you have to pile up in a hole in order for it to be obvious that you're not planting, because you don't plant piles of things, you plant single. By the way, it's not clear what a loof is. According to the Bar Tanura, the loof is a kind of batsal, type of onion. According to Rashi, a loof is a kind of kidneys. But in any event, we had that machlokas. Fine. Now, moving on to today's Mishnah, which is Mishnah Gimel. So the issue, there's another issue over there, which is that the loof continues to grow for a long time. And if the loof that you put underground takes, again, it takes root, so then it's going to continue to grow new growth during Shemitah. The same leaves that were there from before now become, in the eighth year, leaves that are growing in the eighth year, which means that if that happens, then you've got a mix of Shemitah with post-Shemitah growth. Now, what do you do in that case? So the case in the Mishnah is, I'll remind you again of the dinim of biur. The halacha is that anything which runs out to the wild animals in the field, since it says ulavehem techa asher besadeh, so v'lechaya asher besadeh, so if there's nothing for the chaya in the sadeh, you don't have a right to take it for your own animals, you don't have a right to take it for yourself. That creates the din of biur, because it means you have to get it out of your house unless it's available to the chayot hasadeh. So now the question is, that means that at the very least, there's a machlokas about whether you have to actually get rid of it, literally like the Rambam learns, you take it out of your reshus. Now, it appears to be that there are actually two biurs. There's the first biur where in your area you don't have access to the wild animals in the Sadeh. And there's the second stage of biur where it runs out of the entire area. Fine. So then you could be mafkirit at the beginning. But after you're mafkirit, the question is, can you take it back as the owner? So in this case, in the first stage of biur, there's a question about this. We're going to see towards the end of Masechta, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that only aniyim are allowed to take it after you mavair it. And on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi holds even the owner himself is allowed to take it back. Okay. So now, Rabbi Eliezer, who we're about to discuss, Rabbi Eliezer holds that only aniyim are allowed to take it after biur. And therefore, in this case, what happened is that you had a luf that had gone through biur, you had brought it back, it now was growing again, and it took root, and now it's got eight-year growth, together with the seven-year growth. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, if the aniyim had picked everything during Shemitah, and that they had a right to do, and only they had a right to do, fine, so then you don't have to worry about it. But if not, and there were still leaves that were growing there, that actually should have belonged to the aniyim since he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then you have to make a cheshbon with the aniyim and figure out what the proportion is of the leaves that were theirs that had grown during Shemitah. So let's say we say maybe 40% of the growth had been there from Shemitah, and therefore I'm going to give you those 40%, and you be moichel anything that is yours, and therefore you make that cheshbon and in order not to steal from the aniyim, which Rabbi Yeshua says, no. I mean, the aniyim had a right to pick, but the owner had a right to collect also, because he holds, in fact, like Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, if they had taken it, fine. But whatever they took was theirs. But if they didn't take it, then whatever was left is yours. So, ein la'aniyim alav cheshbon. There's no such thing as giving a cheshbon to the aniyim of what it is that is theirs. Masechet Shviit, Perek. Hey, Mishnah Dalit. So now the question is the issue that we spoke about, which the Chazon Ish actually paskens exactly like this. If the growth is from the shishis, then even lakita of Yerek does not define Kedushas Shviyas. And so what we're talking about over here is luf again, but this is true about anything. That the reason we talk about luf is because luf is usually left lying around there. It's not really edible at that stage. So things that had grown completely during the shnas hashishis, and then you have them in the ground, and they're stored there. So in order to get to the luf, the part of the luf that you want to get to, which is the root of the luf, and this is the Rav's reason to believe it's a type of batsal, so you dig it up. But the question is, if you dig, then you dig deep, and you certainly, it looks to people that you are actually doing harisha, because you're working the land and you're softening it up. So therefore, they said, you have to be very careful about how you're going to go about digging up this luf or any other things like we had before about bitsalim that are in the ground in order to complete they're becoming ready, even though they haven't taken root. So if you have luf that was fully grown in the sixth year, so it was luf shel erev shviyas, it's still rooted though here, and it was nichmas to shviyas. The same thing is true about bitsalim that are kaitz bitsalim, kaitzonim, they're summer bitsalim. So in other words, these are the type of onions that you plant them in the summer, and it is picked during the same summer as opposed to the luf, which is from the previous year, and it grew the whole time. The same thing would be true about pua. Pua is a type of dye. It's a red dye. And if it's in high-quality soil, so it was idit, so it's pua that was growing in idit, and that is bedavka, and that one, normally, if you have pua that's growing in poor-quality ground, then the Mishnah is going to explain the din later on. But if you have pua in idit, it completely grows up before. So it's exactly the way the luf is. Then our only problem that I have with it is it looks like you're working the ground when you get it out of the ground. So there, what do you do? Beit Shammai says the only way that you're allowed to dig into the ground
is by using ma'arufot shel eitz. You can use these hoes that are made out of wood, which nobody usually uses. You usually use metal. But if you use metal, so it looks like you're doing your normal avodas hakarka, which we don't do avodas adama. So the rabbanim are to make a difference, make a shinui by using wooden hoes. So that's Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says no. You could actually use. It's fascinating that the kardomot that we're talking about over here is the same issue that we just had in the Gemara about what kardomot are, which are kind of pickaxe, right, which has two blades, the zohar and the geva blade. So that's what it's talking about over here, even though it's metal, but it certainly is not what you usually use for digging, normally, to dig out something. So that's enough of a shinui. You don't need to be mishana ad kedekach that you have to use wood. Okay, that's a small side point between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Now, what about pua that grew in normal soil where pua grows, which is basically tsilaot? Tsilaot refers to where you have rocks that are, they look like ribs in the soil. So you got a little bit of soil, then you have a rocky ledge, soil, rocky ledge. So we call them ribbed ground. So ribbed ground is rocky. So over there, Beit Shammai made it. That okrimo tovakardumocho matechet, everybody would agree. Nobody, because nobody plants normally in ribbed ground like that. It's not useful. So nobody is going to be chayshet that is doing avodas hakarka, and it would be clear that what he did was he came out to dig up the pua that had grown there. Mishnah, Shviz, Perakei, Mishnah, Hey. So now we've got another issue. Can you buy from an Ama Oretz in Shemitah? So there's a number of different questions. One is, I mean, is it Shamur? And we're going to be talking about Shamur later on. And an Ama Oretz, we're always worried about that he wasn't Shomer Shemitah properly. And there's a lot of other questions that are involved in giving money of Shemitah to an Amoritz that we're not up to yet, and that becomes one of the big problems nowadays in buying. Since we're machmer even on the things that are done with heter mechira, we're machmer that the heter mechira still has kedush shvius on it. If it still has kedush shvius on it, so then and Rav Kook himself made that distinction originally that whatever it's absolutely essential to be similar on the Heter Mechira, so then that's the Heter Mechira. But in order to maintain the Inyonim of Shemitah, not to rely where we don't have to, is we still try to make sure that we keep all of the Kedusha Shviyas on the Paris. But if we do that, then we're not allowed to give the money, which will then get the Kedusha, because remember that Shemitah is Tofes, it's money. It's always Tofes, the first exchange, that the most recent exchange, besides never losing its own Kedusha. So then we also will have a problem of giving money to the Ama Oretz, which we'll be talking about later on, that has Kedusha Shviyas. So now this problem is going to always be a problem unless it's already the time of the eighth year that we have this equivalent type of thing on the market. So now we don't have to be chayshish that it's coming from Shemitah. Now we can assume it's coming from the next year, from the most recent. The question is luf, because since we talked about luf being put into the ground and kept there as long-term storage, what would be the time at which we could consider the luf that's being sold to be luf that is not Shemitah oriented? It doesn't have the Kedusha Shviyas. So me'ematai, mutar adam likach luf b'motzei shvi'id. When does it become mutar to buy luf from an Ama Oretz after Shemitah, and not worry about whether it's Shemitah produce? Review it, Omer, right away. Because luf, remember, even if you're buying it next to Shemitah, we said before that the luf is going to be in the ground for a long time. The assumption is that this luf grew before Shemitah. When you're buying it now, you are buying something that was entirely from before Shemitah and has just been stored during this period. And it's in the ground, but it's not actually growing in Shemitah. The Chachamim say, no, even when it comes to Luf, it has to be where you have more of the new crop than you have of the old crop. So Mishi Yodeh Chadash, according to Chachamim, we don't treat Luf different than we treat anything else. You have to worry, since there is Luf of Shemitah that's available, unless most of the Luf is not Luf of Shemitah, so therefore you would not be allowed to do it.